And good morning. It's 8:30. It's time for BitWizards, Tip of the Wand. And on the phone with me today, you'd say, oh, it's Vince and Sam. No, it's not Vince and Sam. It's Lewis and Brett. Good morning, guys.
Morning. Morning, morning Dan.
Good morning. Good
day. We're excited. Go ahead. Excited to be here. I know you don't have your usual guys, but hopefully the change-up adds a little new blood.
Oh, absolutely. Lewis, you've been on here before. Always a pleasure talking with you, sir. Aren't you a prior Navy guy?
I am, yes. I'm very grateful to the Navy. They helped me pay my way through school. And I was on the Sea College program, so I was in from 87 to 89, active, and then 4 years of reserve after that.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for your service, Lewis. Appreciate that. And Brett, what is your role in BitWizards?
I'm an infrastructure engineer here. Basically help our clients with anything and everything IT, from fixing your email all the way to migrating your organization to the cloud.
Nice.
Yeah, Brett's quite a rock star. He's being humble. He actually is helping with our cloud architecture team as well, and he was Employee of the Year last year, which he was. We took nominations for the entire company. He was hands down the star for the year. So,
wow,
great guy. We're lucky to have him.
Man, we have the two big brains of the company here, it sounds like. All right, guys, let's get started.
BitWizards, Bits and Bytes.
So today I picked something near and dear to my heart, and one of our other technicians, Michael Chance, was definitely bringing it to our attention today. It's been in the news for quite some time. I don't know that it's new, but it's Elon Musk and his SpaceX company has a subsidiary called Starlink, and their goal is to bring broadband internet access to the world through low orbit satellites.
Oh, Elon Musk has got his fingers in a lot of things, doesn't he?
A lot of different things. Actually, they it's a 10-year plan that started in 2015, about $10 billion budgeted, but they. Some leaked info said that they expect revenues of $30 billion by 2025. They were actually going to use that money to help fund their Mars plan as well. But this is a game changer if it's effective. The plan is, many low-level orbit satellites to provide about 1 terabyte of throughput per second with some ground stations. And this is going to allow broadband to be available in some hard-to-reach rural areas, not to mention the potential to get freer internet access to places that don't currently have that, such as China and North Korea,
right,
and whatnot. So
this is going to provide people that don't have any like hardline or anything. They go through the satellite.
Exactly. It already exists, but there's been a lot of problems. A lot of them are geosynchronous, higher orbit satellites. They have issues with latency and whatnot. It does work. It's in existence today. But this is a plan to get worldwide kind of coverage with these low orbit satellites. And there are some issues. I mean, there's the issue of space debris. We're talking about a lot of satellites in the thousands,
yeah,
in order to provide this coverage. And actually, kind of one of the unforeseen consequences has been an effect on astronomy. With the reflective satellites, they've actually developed a non-reflective coating to put on the satellite so as to not mess with astronomy. People looking at the sky, checking out the stars.
Hey, you're in my way. I can't see Mars. I can understand that. But when they do this, the low-level satellites, just as a layperson, know a little bit about that. How much of from the upper outer atmosphere is it going to be? Just right on the crest before it drops into the atmosphere to fall to Earth?
And actually, this part, forgive me, I'm not quite as up on this, but one of the big issues is about cleaning up the space debris. So they're actually working out problems for being able to get these satellites, out of the low orbit,
right,
dispose of them. But I believe that they're under 600 miles. I think they're trying to get into, 350? Do you know, Brett?
I don't know.
Like I said, I'm a little bit rusty on the details here for the low orbit stuff, but that is a big, the low orbit is what's allowing for the increased speed But it is going to cause problems.
Yeah.
About cleaning it up.
I was satellite. Just kind of a little background on me, Lewis. I was in Space Command for a while. I was up in Thule Air Base, Greenland, where they had the satellites, not satellites, but they would be able to have a full look at all of the space junk. They call it the space junk. And everything was numbered, every little thing, and they had to make sure that everything was there on a regular basis. If anything dropped out or anything was added, they kept track of all of that. And it was amazing on how much stuff is up there. I completely understand.
Yeah, yeah, you may know a lot more about it than us. It's just a fascinating area. I'm looking forward to, you know, the results, but everything is more complicated than you think, and this just sounds complicated on its surface.
It does. Did they say how many satellites they were trying to put up in the air? I mean, for coverage wise.
We were discussing that more. 140,000, and I'm I find that dubious. I know they talked about getting 1,500 up there to do their I don't want to call it beta testing, but I guess their first round, like, you know, commercial venture with 1,500 and something. And I did read that. I think that number's a little bit more solid. You know, I read it on the internet, so it has to be true.
Yeah, of course. So how's this going to impact your clients? Do you have clients in outlying areas that would be able to benefit from this?
We do have issues, and in fact, I might hand it over to Brett, because we have had places that have difficulty, which then prevent the full function of their capabilities. So,
yeah, we have some clients that have offices in remote places, up in the Alabama area and things like that, where they've had to pay extra money in order to get, you know, fiber and things like that trenched to their building, which is very expensive. Anyone who's ever even started looking at those numbers, it'll drive you crazy. At about 20 grand is usually a ballpark what it will cost to get line trenched to you, depending on the basically the length that needs to be trenched. Then we have other clients that you know, they're not able to get that fiber connection, the more stable internet. They're using things like DSL, which not great at all. These are clients that have they'll have regular issues where basically they're dropping connection constantly, or, you know, they can't use some of the tools that, you know, some of the home office uses, because they don't have the bandwidth in order to use those tools, because it's bandwidth heavy. This type of technology would definitely improve their business, make them a little bit more efficient, and give them a more constant stream of a connection. That way they can use the robust set of tools. It's only going to get more data heavy as we keep going, because we keep, you know, us geeks, we like to build a lot of extra things into things that already exist. So,
yeah, you guys are good at that. So when it comes to your clients, this is going to be a real benefit for your clients, because then they have even more tools to be able to use, because it sounds like they're kind of stifled right now, just for the mere fact is they don't have the access or the bandwidth that they need to run all the tools that you guys can provide for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And, you know, as we move more to software as a service and cloud-based computing, they still want that for these remote offices, but we are so heavily dependent on that broadband to get a good user experience. So now we'll have, you know, with this in place, hopefully it's very successful, and there'll be another, you know, arrow in the quiver, so to speak.
Yeah, that sounds great. So what year did you say this is going to start happening?
Well, it's actually underway. I mean, the concept was in 2015. They've already launched a few satellites. You know, they had set 10-year program, so 2025. Anybody who's ever built anything, I'm sure we can add a 20% increase at that time.
Yeah.
But you know, they are having some success, and of course they're discovering problems, and obviously there's a lot of regulatory issues with the International Telecommunications Organization, along with our FCC, obviously in the United States, and a lot of hurdles. So, but I would love to see it, you know, implemented and available in 2025 and moving in that direction.
And so you guys are all up on this. So if your clients that get this, you can immediately, once they have access, you can immediately upgrade your clients to be able to utilize all of this.
Absolutely. I mean, I have no idea what the details are, but I will say that about BitWizards. Obviously, we stay up to date on the tools that are available for our clients. And lifelong learner is one of our six core values. This field is constantly changing, and it's really incumbent on us to really stay. We try to stay bleeding edge for ourselves and leading edge for our clients. So we try a lot of tools ourselves, find some of the problems. We don't necessarily recommend jumping into the the very first time things are out, but we will. And then we'll find the pain points. While we have a lot of tools that we support, we're a big Microsoft shop, our priority is our clients, not any particular partnership we have with anybody. So we want to make sure that we're giving them the best advice.
Yep. Well, with your managed IT service, you can keep everybody abreast of all the information on the latest information, keep everything up to date. And now this is just one more thing that you'll be able to help out your clients with, so that they will be able to manage their business a lot better, because obviously more bandwidth means that you'll be able to utilize more, faster and better.
That's right. Absolutely. Yep.
Cool. All right, guys, let's kind of switch gears here for a minute.
BitWizards, okay. What's up our sleeve?
Okay, so today our topic is Office 365 hardening, why it's good for your business. So out of the box, if you have Exchange Online via Office 365, you're thinking you're good. You're not using any commercial utilities like Gmail or Yahoo, but Office 365 out of the box is more secure than those standard commercial products, but there are other features that can be added for extra security and also threat management. One of those tools that we use here pretty heavily is it's called Advanced Threat Protection, or ATP for short. Utilizing the ATP enhances security features that are already built into Office 365. These tools include, advanced malware detection, filters, more robust attachment and URL scanning. Some of those tools, you can basically change the settings to where, say, if someone sends you an attachment and that contains malicious content within it, ATP will scan that and kick it out, basically make it to where you can't open that attachment. Now obviously, this is going to cause some lag with the email. It's gotten much better. It's now you barely notice that it happens, but in the early days of ATP, you would get an email, and depending on how you had that configured, basically you would get the email, and you would see that there was an attachment there, but you weren't able to open it because ATP was still scanning that for viruses or malware or anything else that anything nasty may come across. Now, that I haven't seen that in months, so it's gotten much better. It's much faster now. You can also set it to where an email isn't even delivered until any of the URL links or any of the attachments are actually scanned and made sure that they're safe before they even deliver that email to your inbox. So there are a lot of different ways you can configure that, as well as some of the other tools. There's also...
And at Advanced Threat Protection, BitWizards, in our managed services, we have a couple of different pricing, but people don't actually pay for the license. We pay for the license as part of the cost. And we tack that on. Obviously, we could increase our profit margin by taking that off, but we absolutely require it for all of our clients. It adds that extra layer of protection, the vulnerability to help users from getting tricked. And, I listen to this show regularly, and I do this daily, and even I managed to fall for one just last week. Now, fortunately, I realized what I was doing in the middle. I'm working on refinancing my house, and I got something that asked me to get a secure document, and it looked like my title company.
Yeah,
it was close, but it wasn't exactly the same. But of course, I was a bit rushed and not thinking, and I clicked the link and I tried to log in, and it was a phishing trying to get my password. And sure enough, they were able to get it, and I caught it right away. And I went up and changed my password before anybody was able to do anything with it. That type of scenario. So this obviously didn't catch that because the link was legit. Going to a place to just grab it. But ATP adds that extra layer of protection, and we definitely get it for all of our clients.
So these bad guys are getting pretty good at it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I haven't fallen for anything in quite some time. I guess I was due, and I'm glad I caught it. I mean, I was kicking myself for not looking a little closer. We warn people all the time, and then we fall into it ourselves. We get a little busy and a little rushed, and you don't take that extra look.
Yeah, that happens. And with your managed IT service, with your clients, if one of the people that work in the business happens to do that, then you're able to hopefully fix it.
Absolutely. And I will say that, you know, there's no guarantee. BitWizards isn't going to, you know, we provide basically the vault and the guards. But unfortunately, if you walk them into the vault, there's not much we can do. But,
good point.
But that's why, but the service is set up in layers so that if they get through, you know, what happens? So if it's ransomware, we have the backups to then restore so that we can wipe those machines and you're not done. So the idea is that the service is provided in layers. So even if they get through, that we can restore, get back to normal and not be taken out of business. And of course,
that's your fix. That's your fix for that problem. And for those that don't have managed IT service and they don't get the things, their information backed up, and that happens to them, they either pay the ransom or they're out their information. Is that right?
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
Devastating.
Yeah,
absolutely. And also some of the tools that are available within the ATP are data loss prevention measures that you can implement with your business. So say if you're, you know, if you work with clients and you're regularly working with social security numbers, driver's license, banking information, you can basically configure it to where if an email contains that information, you can configure your environment in such a way to where that email will not be allowed to go out. It'll basically be blocked. It'll see that there are numbers that even if it remotely resembles a social security number or driver's license number, it's going to halt that email and basically make it to where you're not able to send out that that information in plain text, essentially. So there's a lot of protection there. If you want to make sure that you're protecting your clients and also protecting your business, open you up to lawsuit and things like that when accidents happen. So those are the kind of things that we try and implement for our clients to make sure that they're protected as well as their own clients.
Okay, so it sounds to me like Office 365 is probably one of the best products out there right now for what you use it for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are third-party tools that you can get outside of this stack, but in our experience, they don't integrate as well, obviously, because they're not built in, and a lot of things are missed, and sometimes it can even hinder production. But if there's an issue with that third-party tool but not, you know, your Office 365, sometimes email doesn't get delivered or things slip through because they're not staying on top of it like Microsoft is, basically.
And I think the key takeaway that I'd want a business owner to have out of this segment is that Office 365 has just a myriad of configurable settings to vary for different kinds of businesses, you know, from ultra secure, ultra lockdown, which, of course, affects convenience and productivity, you know, to loosening things up depending on your needs. And so just getting Office 365 out of the box and installing it, you're already winning compared to other tools. That's absolutely true. But there's an entire set of best practices which are different based on your needs. And so, you know, at BitWizards, obviously, we consult with our clients to figure out what those are. We have a standard set that we do one layer above what you get Office 365 just by default, and then we configure based on the needs of the client. But even, you know, even doing it on your own, there's a lot of services and training in order to look at it. So I think the key takeaway for business owners is understand there's a new layer, and if you educate yourself a little bit, you can set those best practices for yourself. And, of course, if you don't want to, feel free to give us a call.
Yeah.
Well, with BitWizards, because you are a managed IT service, you know the best practices, you know the best out of Office 365. It sounds like there's a lot to this, and you guys know it inside and out. So if they hire you for managed service, then you will be able to immediately implement all this in their business after you find out what their business goals are, be able to tailor the Office 365 to what they need so they can get maximum production and maximum efficiency out of the product as well.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's included in the service. I mean, that hardening is part of the service that we set up for people in the monthly charge. It's not like extra, you know. It's just part of the service.
Good deal. And just to kind of back up on that, I have Office 365, and that is a monthly payment to to have that service, to have that program, but it's always being updated. So you're always going to have the latest version of everything in Office 365, and I like that idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's. I know there was a segment. I listen to the show every time, and they had a segment on software as a service applications, and it's really nice. The subscription model makes it an operational cost instead of a capital expense, but on top of that, you keep getting all of the extra value as it goes forward, and there's never these long, it's been 3 years, let's do an upgrade, and it totally disrupts your business. So it's a new model across the board. It is in Office 365 and much of the business applications, and it's a great thing.
Well, and you guys at BitWizards are the experts when it comes to Office 365, no doubt about that. Guys, let's go to the next segment.
BitWizards from the Spellbook.
Okay, so this is where we demystify some technological geek speak. So this week, our term is phishing, kind of ties into the Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection, because there are tools to prevent phishing within there. And phishing is a cybercrime, essentially, it's a target or targets. They try and contact you by email, telephone, text message. They try and pose as a legitimate business or a resource that maybe you use. And they try and lure sensitive information out of you, you know, whether it's, banking and credit card details, passwords, things like that. One of the ways that they try and do this, it kind of ties into it, so phishing and spoofing are closely related to where, they spoof someone's email address that you're used to. And it's like, okay, this is George, my friend. He's sending me this link, so George is safe. I'm going to click this link. Basically, it's a lot of times, it's even what Lewis had stated, is, you click the link, and then it has you log in. They just harvested your credentials. Or it takes you to a site where it gives you the cyber lockdown. It says your computer is locked and you can't do anything. You got to call this number, kind of thing. And all they're trying to do is either get on your computer to harvest information, or they're just trying to give you a quick one-time charge, charge you on your credit card kind of thing. And we see these. This is the most common type of cyber attack. Basically, it's super simple. They even have bots that are people create in order to blast out these emails to thousands of people every day, and just trying to harvest credentials or credit card numbers, banking information. So the tools that are within ATP, it basically you can stop that from occurring. Say if you wanted to protect one person, say like the CEO of the company, it's like, okay, I want to make sure that someone can't send out an email to our internal employees stating, hey, I need you to go out and buy a bunch of Amazon gift cards, because that's a common one. So, the tools within ATP basically stop those attacks from occurring. You can either set it to quarantine that message and just put it in a lockbox, or you can have it to where it just immediately deletes it. No one ever even sees the email. So just depending on your business needs, we can set that up however works best for you.
Yep. And you guys are the experts. So I would imagine if people had questions, your clients had questions about maybe educating some of their new people that came in about what to click on, what not to click on. Since you guys are the experts and probably seen most, if not all, of these different phishing expeditions, if you will, you could probably help educate a lot of people, because that's the bottom line, isn't it? Don't click on it, because that is the beginning of the end.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And they get sophisticated. I mean, and they do occasionally get through the ATP. The Office 365 does a lot of that. We always recommend, like, when you find those, is to log them as spam, because we're helping everybody else, right? They have their huge, AI that when you report it as spam, when somebody else tries to get that same email, it'll be blocked. So it's good. But they get pretty clever. They'll do the COVID scams because that's current. Or for all I know, they might be doing Black Lives Matter scams right now. Just whatever's in the news, whatever's at the top, they'll just start figuring out a way to make it look like something legit. And like I said, I fell for one just last week. I was like kicking myself. I said, lecturing everybody about taking an extra look. And I didn't take an extra look till after I entered my password. And I said, wait a minute, let me go look at this. And I said, sure enough, that is not legit. Fortunately, because I noticed it right away, I was able to go up, change my password right away before anybody. But that's what they would do in a phishing scan. So if you gave them your password, one of the first things they're going to do is go up and change your password so you can't get access. Two-factor authentication, of course, is something we also promote because that would prevent them from being able to do that. You would get the notice on your phone if they tried to do that. So even though I fell for it, I had two-factor authentication. It's likely they couldn't have changed my password, although they might have had access for a while.
Because that two-factor authentication, that kind of goes that hand-in-hand with Office 365, right?
It's not turned on by default, but yeah, you can definitely implement that very easily across the board for your organization.
Yeah,
so that's one of the things we do here. One of the things we recommend for almost all of our clients. There are exceptions, though. If you have, you know, one of the problems with multi-factor authentication is you have to have the cell phone. What if you have a user on the shop floor that is shop floor user?
Yeah.
You know, well, who's going to be having that phone for two-factor? So there are all these unique scenarios in which we have to look at them and decide what is best for, you know, the business. You have to weigh productivity versus security in a balanced way to be able to maximize the business.
Well, that makes sense because anybody could find that out, I'm sure. That's interesting. The two-part authentication I find to be pretty secure. We have that here, and I have that also with my Office 365. It was set up by you guys, as a matter of fact. And that is so, you know, at first it seems like, oh, this is another step that I really don't want to have to take. But after a while, you think, you know what, I'm glad I have this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
They're even getting better and better with authenticator apps where you don't even have to do a whole lot of work. It'll almost just ask your authenticator app on your phone to just approve, and you just hit approve, and it's over. So they're working to get to security, but they're also keeping an eye on that convenience. They're also keeping an eye on how can we make this secure but easier? Well, how can we remove the pain? And so things are moving in that direction. Obviously, like I said, the scenario I had, if nobody actually has the phone, now you have an issue. We actually have that. So nobody here at BitWizards ties certain SaaS accounts to their names. So we actually have the IT cell phone. It's just sitting right up there, and it's available to the team to be able to authenticate if we need it.
Oh, gotcha. All right, guys, this is kind of the part of the program where you say thank you to one of your clients.
Yeah, we'd love to send a big thank you and shout out to our customer Heartland Steel Products. They manufacture products from steel and have locations all over the country. From design to delivery, their products are made easy to use, made to last, and manufactured here in the United States. So we want to thank Greg Kelly, the CEO, and Kathleen Winter, the operations officer, for allowing BitWizards to help with their infrastructure operations and hopefully helping Heartland Steel be number one in their field.
Oh, that's cool. Where are they headquartered at, Lewis?
So Harrison, where is it?
Harrison, Ohio.
Ohio, okay. Yeah, Harrison.
Because I know you guys have nationwide, and you got some places outside the country, don't you?
Not in the managed IT field. So our custom software, we have done business internationally, but not for managed IT.
Oh,
we
I
only
see.
Work inside the United States. Not that we couldn't. We just simply don't have any customers now. Heartland has has an office in Lodi, California, and I'm a big wine drinker, so I wouldn't mind going out to Lodi.
Lewis is volunteering. Okay, I'll go out there.
Yeah.
we have a partner in the Czech Republic in Prague, and unfortunately my C personality doesn't allow me to do it if it's not business oriented. So even though I'm a founder and I probably could have found a reason to go, in our 12-year partnership, I have never been to Prague. Vince has been, I don't know, half a dozen times.
Send Vince. That's the idea. I got you.
He's the front man. He's definitely best with the he's the smartest guy I know, and I'm lucky to have him as a partner and my best friend. So we've been friends for 38 years.
Gosh, that's great.